Shkoyach everyone for coming. It's a big chizik to see the whole oilam here, all the visitors and regulars. The topic we were going to discuss is conflicting minhagim. When minhagim, multiple minhagim converge in one place, or a person has his own private minhag, how does he behave around, you know, in a shul when there's multiple minhagim, and it always becomes very, very sticky, you know, like they said the maisa that there was, you know, there's two people, you know, there was a fight broke out in the shul. One of the typical shilas in minhagim, do we say avarachamim, don't we say avarachamim, it's sfira sa'imer, and mevarachim chay, whatever, one of these minhagim. So one person said, we for sure say avarachamim, every year we always said avarachamim, and the other one says, we never said avarachamim, and they're fighting back and forth. So they said, you know, there's one old man left, who was from the miyasdim of the shul, and he's still out there in the nursing home. Let's go ask him, you know, let's go figure out what to do. So they travel over to him and they ask him, and you know, one person pleads his case and he says, for sure I remember that we never said Avraham. And the other says, no, we did say it. And he started fighting back and forth. We didn't. So the old man says, yeah, that's what we did. Yeah. So the issue of minhagim is important to understand. The MS is that it's a real sugya. It's a real sugya in the fourth parak of Pesachim. So if you learn the Mishnah, we'll just read the reading of the Mishnah itself is a little complicated, but the Mishnah ends up saying, if you look in the first page of the Mishnah, in the third line of the Mishnah, so it says. Actually, the second line says, "Ha'ilach mi'makim she'aisin l'makim she'ain aisin, or mi'makim she'ain aisin l'makim she'aisin." So there's different minhagim about doing malacha erev Pesach after chatzos. And what happens if you go from one place to the other? One place has a minhag to do it, and you go to a place that has a minhag, the opposite minhag. So the halacha is noisin alav chumri makim she'yatzim misham v'chumri makim she'halach l'sham. It means you give him the chumra of the place that he came from. He has to keep the minhag of the place that he came from, but he also has to keep the minhag of the place that he's going to. Which is hard to do both. So we have to understand that. Another factor is you should not create machlokas by doing different than the city that you're in. The maskana of the Gemara, according to Taisvis at least, other Rishonim are different, but according to Taisvis, how we paskin, how do you read the Mishnah is like this. If you're das, when you're traveling, you're das, your intention is to become a resident of the local city where you're moving to, so then you have to take the minhag of the local place. If, however, your das is not to stay there, your das is just to be there as a visitor, but your intention is to go back to your city, then you keep the minhag of the place that you came from. You keep your minhag of the place you came from. However, if it's going to create machloikas, by you keeping your minhag, it's going to create a machloikas in the city, so then you have to be careful and not create machloikas in public. Okay, so that would mean in a private, in anything which is in private, and you're just a visitor in a place, in private you can keep your own minhag. However, in public you have to keep the minhag of the place that you're in because of machlokes. So this is the halacha that it says over here. Now, just to give a background to understand this a little bit, what is the source altogether that you have I didn't write the sources about this, but we'll just discuss it for a minute. What is the makar altogether that a person has to keep a minhag? A mitzvah deraisa you have to keep, it says it in the Torah. A mitzvah derabanan you have to keep because it says loisaser. It says you're not allowed to waver at all from that which Chazal say. But why is it that a person has to keep a minhag? So my father did that, or my family did that. They decided to, you know, have this nice minhag that, like the Gemara talks about, that they didn't travel Erev Shabbos after Chatzai. So yeah, it's very nice. They didn't travel Erev Shabbos. What is that? Why is that binding? Why is that binding to him, to the person that started the minhag, and why is it binding to his children or to the bnei amakom? So, the answer is that there's actually there's two levels. One is that it's a neder. It's a neder. We say in Hataras Nedarim, anything shenahakti minhag toiv gimel pa'amim. If you do something three times, it's binding like a neder. You planned on continuing to do it, so it's an unspoken neder. It's like a vow, and therefore you have to keep it outside, like the halach of a neder. It's a kabbalah. You're a kabbalah on yourself, and therefore you have to keep your word. It's like a begeder of a kabbalah. That's why the person who did the minhag, who established the minhag, has to keep on doing it. The question then becomes, what about the next generation? Why does the child have to keep the minhag of the father? I didn't make the neder, he made the neder. I don't have to keep every neder my father made. He said he was going to pay, he was going to make, he makes a neder to something, and he has to do it, I don't have to do it. So why does the child, what's this whole concept of a family minhag or minhag amakom? So that the Gemara brings a pasuk of Al Titoish Teiras Imecha, which is a pasuk that says that you're not supposed to, you cannot go away from the minhag of your family. And the reason for that is, it's that, that's a giloy that we make, it's like whoever was makabal, it's makabal it upon himself on behalf of the entire community and on behalf of the entire family. And therefore it's binding for everybody. In fact, what's interesting is the Korban Nisano and others, the Shach and Yeridea, point out that actually the children are more chomer than the father, than the original person who established the minhag. Because the person who established the minhag can make hataras nedarim. He could say, listen, I established him, I tried to do something, I accepted upon myself a certain thing, and now I can make hataras nedarim, like we say, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. But the child can't do that anymore. Once the father accepted the minhag, it's binding to the child, and he can't do hataras nedarim, because it's not his neder. So therefore, the Korban Nisano writes, you can't do hataras nedarim on a minhag, which is you didn't make. Others, the Prichodosh, and others argue on this. Now, this whole idea, by the way, of Al Titoish Teiras Imecha, and that it's a neder, is a machlokes in the poskim, whether it's deraisa or derabanan. Some hold, it's the Chasam Sofer, holds that it's deraisa. The Chavos Yoar and other achronim holds it's derabanan. But anyway, it's really binding either as some sort of Kabbalah or a neder. Okay. Now,
it's not the neder. The sons lose the din Teiras Imecha?
Yeah, the Kabbalah goes off because the Kabbalah, it's only binding to them because their Kabbalah is binding to the child. Now there's a whole separate share we could give on what exactly qualifies for a minhag. Means every time a person, you know, if the father or the family or the people in the place like doing exercise every morning, you know, so that qualifies as a minhag. So what exactly qualifies as a minhag? So there's a whole sugi about that itself, is that a minhag has to be something which is some sort of chumrah or geder or kedusha or something which is maisif in his avodas Hashem. But, you know, stama hanhaga, the way a person acts, so, you know, his taste in his wardrobe is not a minhag.
Like so, the sof versus the
tof? With the havara? The havara, they talk about what that is exactly.
What about a minhag giving tzedakah to certain people?
So again, so that's the Chavos Yoar is tshuva. The Chavos Yoar has a tshuva about, he said, let's say my father was a big tzaddik, and he fasted every Bahab, every Monday, Thursday, not just in Shovavim. Every Monday, Thursday, he fasts. There's people like that. So now the child also has to? Every child has to be as big of a tzaddik as the father? So he says, a personal thing, someone that accepts upon himself something personally, which is not, you know, a tzibur thing, it doesn't have a toikif of a minhag. It doesn't have a power of a minhag. The minhag is only when it's something about a tzibur, something which relates to an entire tzibur. They were makabel themselves collectively to, like the Gemara gives an example, to refrain from eating a certain type of fat. You know, it was a shayla on the fat. Is this kosher fat or tray fat? So they refrain from eating. That's a minhag.
Because that's what the father did.
The place is mechayev. That's why it's related to the makom. That's why we call it's more like the minhag hamakom, because the minhag hamakom, the tzibur is able to make a minhag for the kehila.
You gave the example of driving in Shabbos.
Yeah, because the entire city accepted upon themselves, the bnei baisha in the Gemara says, accepted upon themselves not to leave their city before Shabbos. So, you know, it has to be a collective thing. Someone, a personal, that's what Chavos Yoar says. Every person whose father is a big tzaddik, he doesn't have to do everything his father did. That's a minhag.
What about a gear or a malteshuva?
How do they establish a minhag? So in the olden days, that's what we're going to discuss. In the olden days, when there was actually something called a minhag hamakom, so you would have to do that. Okay, but we'll see exactly how that you know in a chanami that he has to figure that out. Okay, so getting back to that, so what we're saying is that there's something which is binding is a minhag hamakom. If you're part of a place and the chachamim of that place and the previous generations accepted upon themselves a minhag b'teras neder. Al Titoish Teiras Imecha says that the children and their lashon adon v'chol hanilvim elav and all the people that join up with the tzibur also have to take that minhag. Okay, so now the mission, the maskana of the Gemara is the following, just to get it clear. If a person is still the resident of city A and he's traveling to visit city B, he has to keep his minhag because he's still a resident of city A, so therefore he keeps the minhag of city A. If he's moving into city B, he has to accept upon himself the minhag of city B. In all minhagim, whether it's a chumra or a lakula, he accepts upon himself the minhag of city B. If he's just visiting city B, but he lives in city A, he keeps the minhag of city A, in private, for sure. But in public, where if it could create machloikas, then he has to watch out for whatever they do there and not create machloikas. Okay? And that's... That every case, you know, you have to, in a chanami, it could be if you decided that, then you don't have to stay any time at all. It depends on your decision. If you're going to wait and see, then you have to, wait and see. Okay? So, this is the maskana of the Gemara. I'm not going to read all the Gemaras inside, but this is the maskana of the Gemara based on the three Gemaras in Pesachim. If you put it all together, this is what comes out from the Gemara in Pesachim. Okay? So, I remember I met someone. His name was Goldberg, and he was a Sephardi. He was a Sephardi. So I asked him at one point. I said, "How could it be? What does that mean? How could it be you're a Sephardi if your name is Goldberg?" So he said, "My grandfather moved from Poland to Egypt, and in Egypt there was only one minhag." And the poiskim, if there's only one minhag in the city, there's a real minhag from Dairi Dairis, and that's the minhag of the place. There's no other kihila, there's no other anything. You can't find an Ashkenazi minion from anywhere. That is the minhag. So you have to take upon yourself the minhag of the place. So that became now our minhag. We took on all the minhagim, l'chumra and l'kula of that city. And we'll see why in America that doesn't carry over, and everyone kept their old minhagim, but. In that case, that's really the halacha. So he became a Sephardi because he had to keep all those minhagim when they moved. And obviously it was an ein daita lachzer. Okay, so now, just to bring this out in a way that we understand that it's practical, is that one of the most common applications of this is traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz for Yom Tov. And the reason for that is because the status of our Yom Tov Sheni in America is a minhag. It's not the halacha, it's the minhag. Our minhag is, now that we know the calendar, so our minhag is that we keep a Yom Tov Sheni. So therefore, it has the status of a minhag, and it would fall under these halachas, how to treat Yom Tov Sheni. So the common case is, Ben Eretz Yisrael is in Chutz Laaretz, or Ben Chutz Laaretz, someone that lives in Chutz Laaretz, finds himself in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. So if you look at... Yeah, but it has a din of a minhag. Yeah, you can't do Mahatar Sandarim, but it has a din of a minhag. So if you look on page 2, which is the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch says like this, and it falls under, it will fit into everything we learned, but we'll have to explain one point. It says, B'nai Eretz Yisrael, someone that lives that comes from Eretz Yisrael, Shabou L'chutzah La'aretz, and they come to Chutz La'aretz for Yom Tov. Asurim La'asa is Melacha B'Yom Tov Sheni, Afilu daito lachzer. Even though it's daito lachzer, even though he has his das to go back, so he keeps the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael, but he's not allowed to do malacha. So why is he not allowed to do malacha? The reason he's not allowed to do malacha is because ayishanim mipnei hamachlekes, because he can't do malacha in public if he's amongst the minhag makom is not to do malacha. Now the thing is, the Mishnah Berurah brings down. In the first Mishnah Berurah, the nice thing of Chumrei Makom Shalach L'Sham Vafilu B'Tzinah. You're not even allowed to do malacha. A Ben Eretz Yisrael is not even allowed to do malacha privately. So now we have to understand, why can't you do malacha privately? So there the Ran says like this. The reason he's not allowed to do malacha privately is because a malacha is by its nature, it's a public thing. Because a malacha, the definition of malacha is an accomplishment. You accomplish something. You've created something. So that thing has a carryover. So if a Ben Eretz Yisrael is going to turn on a light, right? Someone else will come into the room. He'll see the light is on. So therefore, that minhag is always, by nature, it's always public. If he builds something, boine, so he built something. So now someone's going to walk into the room and they're going to see that it was built. So you can't keep malacha private. You cook something. It's cooked now. Malacha is not something that you can keep private. It's not. The Gemara gives an example of a fat. You ate something. There was a minhag to refrain from eating something. His minhag was to eat this type of meat. So he ate the meat in private. That's okay because once you eat it, it's gone. No one knows. But a malacha, there's carryover. People can always see that, and therefore, it's also to do that in private a malacha. Okay. However, in a case where it's not clear if the malacha is mutter or aser, so the Mishnah Berurah says like an interesting example. Let's say Yom Tov Sheni is Friday. So you want to cook from Friday to Shabbos. So what do? We make an Erev Tavshilin. So you make an Erev Tavshilin that allows you to cook from Friday to Shabbos. What about if the Ben Eretz Yisrael did not make an Erev Tavshilin? He didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Is he allowed to cook from Friday to Shabbos?
He's probably not allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin. He doesn't need one. He's probably brought a bracha of
Tavshilin. Okay. Maybe make one without a bracha. But what? So the Mishnah Berurah says is that he can cook without an Erev Tavshilin, because that already is a private thing. Because when someone's looking at him cook, he doesn't know if he made an Erev Tavshilin, he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. So that's not creating a machlokes, because that's a private issue at that point. Who knows what he did Erev Shabbos? Did he make the Erev? Didn't he make the Erev? That's none of anyone else's business. And therefore, that he would be allowed to do. So this is the
What?
But the point is, this is the issue. However, what about the other way around? Oh, but he does say, let's say tefillah, Mishnah Berurah says he should daven privately, his own personal Shemoneh Esrei, the weekday Shemoneh Esrei, or the Chol Moed Shemoneh Esrei, because that's private. Okay? Now, what about the other way around? So, the other way around, Mishnah Berurah says, is also the same thing. How does it work the other way around? The Ben Chutz La'aretz goes to Eretz Yisrael, and his das is to go back. So then the halacha is like this. He has to keep his minog and from chutz la'aretz. He can't do malacha. Now you're going to say, well, he doesn't do malacha, that's going to create machloikas. So the Gemara says, no, not doing malacha doesn't create machloikas, because for all you know, you're just unemployed. It doesn't mean that you're dafka not doing malacha. Maybe you're in the mood of walking, you're not taking the bus. You know, it doesn't show me, there's no machloikas by doing that. And apparently wearing Yom Tov clothes is also not going to create a machloikas. The only thing is, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Mikomakoyim tefilas yomtiv tzarch lehispal beveisay betzina." What about davening? So he says a yomtiv davening that the chutz la'aretz person has to daven privately, but publicly he can't daven a yomtiv davening. It's weekday, and they're going to start taking out Sifrei Torah and laning Shor Chesev or whatever. They can't do publicly something against the minhag ha'makom, because again that creates machlokes.
Does that mean you shouldn't even daven with a minyan?
Separate minyan.
You shouldn't daven with a minyan, because that's called making a public statement. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So Lamaisa, we all know, anyone that's been there, it's all for Yom Tov. There's signs all over the place, minyan Yom Tov Sheni, in this shul at that time, and Nusa Sfara, whatever you want, Ashkenaz. So it's a pella. L'chayr, it's mamish keneged the dina of the Gemara that says that in public you have to keep the minog of the makom. So how could this be? So the truth of the matter is, Ramosha also is not so pleased with it, but this apparently is not a new phenomenon.
Because why a Ashkenazic Jew could never go to Sephardic shul.
We'll get to that. No, maybe he just has to daven like their minog, if anything. But anyway, but here he's you know, here he's mamash doing publicly connected the minhag ha'makom. So here there's a tshuva. It's a very interesting tshuva on the page 3. Is a tshuva from Rabbi Yosef Karo, and apparently he says that he was living in Tzfas in those days with the Arizal and everything, and he says that since there was no Beis Hamikdash, people from Chutz La'aretz weren't oyla regel to Yerushalayim. But apparently many people from Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz were oyla regel to Tzfas. And he says that there was always, every Yom Tov, there are people that come to Tzfas for Yom Tov. Okay? And he says that they even come 3 times for all 3 regalim, and they keep the local, their minhag ha'makom of keeping 2 days Yom Tov, which is interesting, because people, you know, some people tend to think otherwise. But here he says beferish. If you see where I underlined it, it says people come to be oyla regel on Yom Tov from Chutz La'aretz to Yom Tov. The same exact way they would do it in Chutz La'aretz. So he says, Imam said Yom Tov Sheni Minyanim back in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo. V'davar zeh nasa mimei kedem, and this is an old minhag. B'fnei g'doy le'oylam, v'loy pik adam b'davar zeh me'oylam. And no one ever had a problem with this. V'zuhi shekasha b'inyan, but I don't understand, how could it be? It's farhesia. V'hechi loy chayshinan, why aren't we concerned? L'hai desnan, that this there what it says in the Mishnah, Ayishana adam ipnei machlaikas. That you're not allowed to make a machlaikas. So the Beis Yosef asks this kasha on the minhag that happened in his days and way, way before. So he says at the end, Apparently, I have to say that it's only in something which is going to create machlekes, because if the local people do what you're doing, it's going to be a big avera. So if you do malach in public, if a Ben Eretz Yisrael does malach in public, maybe a Yid from Chutz Lartz is going to start doing malach on Yom Tov Sheni. Oh, that's a big problem. But he says, what's the worst that will happen? Someone from Eretz Yisrael is going to listen to the Haftarah on Yom Tov Sheni. I mean, it's not such a big deal. Nothing bad is going to happen. And for something like that, the Beit Yosef says there's no issue of machlokes, there's no issue of this inyan, and therefore you're allowed to make these Yom Tov Sheni minyanim even in Eretz Yisrael. This is what the Rabbi Yosef Kara writes. So apparently that's the yishuv for this minhag. Now there's two other places where this is very, very nogeya. So one thing is just interesting to point out is that when a woman gets married to a man, so they often don't always have the same minhagim, and the halacha is that it gets very sticky. Sometimes people want to know, what are they supposed to do? Is the woman supposed to change her nose or change her minhag? Eat kidneys, not eat kidneys? You know, if she's a Sephardi, so what do you do? So Ramosha Feinstein writes, he says that if you learn the sugyas and ksuvas about you know how a kedushin and an nisuin work, how it works to get married. So Ramosha writes that the lumdis is the understanding of how it works is that the ish is bringing the isha lirshusai. He brings her into his rishus. So Ramosha wants to say it's begeder that she's leaving her makalim and she's going to his makalim. And hopefully it's ain't daiter lachzar. So therefore, Moshe says that since it's ain't daiter lachzar, the halacha is that she has to keep the minhag of the makom that she's going to, and the makom she's going to is the husband's makom. It's not physically in terms of the city, but in terms of the rishus, she's by the husband, and therefore she keeps the minhag of the husband.
Now, the
I don't know if that's a minhag, a chumrah. It's not klar. There's a very interesting tshuva, psak from the Chazon Ish that I'll say in a minute. But basically, Chazon Ish says a chumrah is not a minhag. You have a shita, you're machmer for it. That's not a minhag. A minhag is when there's no shita that it's aser, and you're making a minhag out of it. So Ramosha says that's the pshat, okay? Now, he was talking about over there that the specific shiloh there was, it's irrelevant to the point. The point is, this is how Ramosha understands why a woman has to take on the minhagim of the husband. Because it's a minhag, it becomes a minhag amakim. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is brought down in the Sefer Yom Tov Sheni Kelchasa. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has a different understanding of this din. He says, "Shatam b'zehu mishum shibuda." The kivin shemushubedes l'sham shoy noheges kemoisel l'chol davar. It's like a geder ve'ein zemidin hoylech mimakom l'makom. So Shlomo Zalman writes that the pshat why a woman has to take on the minhagim of the husband is not because she's leaving her rishus to go to his rishus, but rather it's more like the shibud. It's like ishta kigufay. She becomes mishubed to the husband. So I'm thinking, I don't know, I didn't see this, but it could be a big nafkamina. Is the husband allowed to be moichel? Because if it's out the din of the shinoy of the minhag makom, so she's mechuyev out the minhag makom to keep his minhag. But if it's out the shibud that she has to the husband, she has to follow the husband's in his minhagim. So he could be Michael that says, you know, just like he could be Michael any shibud, she has to do things for him. He has to do things for her. They could be Michael one to the other. So the chayr according to Rosh Zalman, the husband would be allowed to be Michael on that. No. but the Yishanah Mipnei HaMachlokes is only when it's Daitei Lachzar. But if it's Ein Daitei Lachzar, then you become Mechuyev Atzad Minhag HaMakom of the second place. You know, Bitzina, all these things we're discussing is only when it's Daitei Lachzar. Daitei Lachzar means really you're Mechuyev to keep your local Minhag. Now you find yourself in a new place, how do you act, behave in the new place? So machloikas, tzin on this. But if you actually move into the new place, you have no choice. You have to keep the local minhag. That's not an issue of tzin for hesed. So therefore, that's what I'm saying. According to Ramosha, you can't be Michael because it's the halacha of a minhag. But according to Rishon Zalman, the point is that she has to behave like him. She's meshubah to you know, not do different things in the house. It's your minig, it's not her minig. It's my minig. I'm saying it's my minig, but it's not her minig. She has to do it because she's meshubah to me. So she has a chiv to keep her minig. I mean, I have a chiv to keep my minig, she has a mitzvah to keep her minig. But she's meshubah to keep mine. But if I'm boichel on the sheba, then she could continue doing hers maybe.
According to
you? No, I mean, according to Moshe, maybe she goes back also. Maybe, yeah, it's also a good point. Right.
The father going back to the according to the Talmud, and the father forgive the son if the son wants to change the mitzvah?
No, because that taka, no, that's not al shibur, but that's al titzos teres mecha. L'chari na la bimoy for that. No, right. Okay, so the next thing that's those two inyanim. The next inyan that it comes up is nusach tefillah. Nusach tefillah is a big one. Like you mentioned, what happens if you're in a different shul and in general. So before we discuss what happens if you're in a different shul and all that, first I'm just going to give you a little background. What is the inyan altogether? Let's say you're not in a different shul, you just don't want to change your nusach. Okay? So this is a big tumult in all the poskim, to understand this exactly. So there I have over here, in the top of this page, of page 4, in the little letters there, if you could read it, there's a Magen Avram. So the Magen Avram brings down from the Kisvei Arizal that he says, Omnam haminhagim shenagu v'minagin tefila nishashu ha-tefila ein l'shanais m'minag mekoyma. You're not supposed to change the minag of your makam in tefila. Ki yud beis sha'arim b'shamayim neged yud beis shvatim. There are 12 gates in Shemayim. And each shevet has his gate. V'chol shevet yesh l'shar u'minag levad mashinitzka b'gemara shova l'kol ha'kava l'kol. And whatever it says in the Gemara, it fits into all the gates. But the minhagim, you have to know what your shar is, what's your sharish haneshama, and which shevet you're part of, and what your minhag is, and your tefillah, your shar, your nusach will go through the shar which is appropriate for your neshama. But if you take a different nusach, it's not going to fit into the shar that fits for your neshama. V'zeloshen haGemara Yerushalmi afapi shesholchanu shalachnu lachem seidat tefillas al tishanim minhag v'seichem. That you're not supposed to change under any circumstances your minag in your nusach tefillah. So this is the Arizal that the Magen Avraham brings down. Now, the thing that happened was that it became by the Chassidim, by the time of the Baal Shem Tov, they implemented the Nusach Sfard, which was really the Nusach of the it was at least became very popular through the Arizal. The Arizal was Misakin Kavonis and very deep Kavonis in understanding the Nusach HaTefillah of the Soidois, and he did it. He explained Nusach Sfard. So the Rabbi Avadya Yosef and others, he brings down a whole bunch of tshuvas that say, the Divrei Chaim and the Chida and the Maharam Shik and many others, that they all say that the Shiloh is how could it be that all these Ashkenazim, they were all Ashkenazim, they weren't Sfardim from Spain and Morocco or anywhere like that, they were regular Ashkenazim, and they changed the Nusach to Nusach Sfard. So why did they change the Nusach? Why isn't that going against the Arizal himself in the Magen Avraham that says not to change the Nusach? So and this is even Rav Nosson Adler was the Rav of the Kehillah in Frankfurt, of all places. You know, Mamash in the heart of Ashkenaz, and he himself davened Nusach Sfar. Now, he didn't change the minhag of the shul because if he tried to do that, I know it would have lasted. But he himself, in his own tefillah, changed to Nusach Sfar. So how could that be? So the place came up, they bring down the Chida that of course the Arizal is correct, that all that you know every person has a Shar and a Shoshama. But Nusach Sfar, that fits into all the Sharashim. All the Sharashim. That's a master key. That fits into everywhere. This is the Chida says. Avot Tfilas Nusach Asfardim Oyle Bechol Echad Mishneim Asar Sharashim. And therefore, he says, this is the Rabbi Avadya Yosef, he writes, Afal pi shemutar l'ashkenazim, an Ashkenazi can change to Sfardi, but Sfardi can't change to Ashkenazi. That's what Rav Avadya paskins. And he says, because you see that the Arizal himself was an Ashkenazi. And he switched to Svard. So he himself said that you're not supposed to change your Nusach. So obviously, an Ashkenazi is allowed to change to Svard, and that's not a problem. Rabbeinu Arizal Shuhayahu Atzmai Ashkenazi, Asa Maisi Rav, Hispal B'Nusach HaSvardim, and therefore, the master key that fits into all 12 Sha'arim is Svard, and therefore a person's allowed to change from Ashkenaz to Svard. The Chasam Sofer... What? It's the same idea. The basic changes are that Hoidu is before Baruch Shalom. The basic changes is the same.
But why is it also the Shars of your Tfilas B'Nias? Why shouldn't it be the Minhag? You have
before that, So now the Chasam Sofer writes back, and the Chasam Sofer says, no, it's not true. He says this, that people want to change to Davin Nusach Svard, like my Rebbe of Nelson Adler, and all this. It's not because Nusach Svard is more popular or has a master key. Because happens to be, he says, not like, it's interesting, the Chasam Sofer says, Pung Faker. He says, the Arizal, you know why Davin Nusach Svard? Not because it's better Nusach, because he was Svardi. So it's apparently a major machloikas over here. But Vadi Yosef holds that the Arizal was an Ashkenazi. And therefore, he davened Svard. It's a raya. They allowed to switch the nusach. And the Chasam Sofer says, no, the Arizal was a Svardi. So if the Arizal was a Svardi, that's why he davened Nusach Svard. But it's no raya that you allowed to change.
Then he means the Arizal knew Shama was a Svardi.
No, he says Luria is a Svardi name.
Where did he come from?
So apparently, the history is not clear. I don't know. But this is very interesting. So they're both giving credit. They're both, you know, taking credit. So anyway, so he says that that's why the Arizal wrote all of his nuschois and everything. He wrote the kavanas on Nusach Svard because he himself was a Svard and that was the Nusach he davened, and that's why he put his kavanas into that Nusach. But Avada, had he been an Ashkenazi, he would have put all of his kavanas into Ashkenazi because that also has the major kavanas. So he says, and anyway, for any one of us that doesn't know kavanas anyhow, so what are you switching for? You don't know it anyway. So Nelson Adler, that he was taka able to understand the kavanas, he switched over because no one explained the kavanas in Nusach Ashkenaz. But not because it's a better Nusach, and therefore he says no such thing, that the Chasam Sofer says that Nusach Svard is not a Nusach which fits into all 12 Sha'arim, and therefore you should keep with your Nusach. As a matter of fact, Ramosha writes, Mamash Punk Fakert, from Rav Avadya. And Ramosha says that he goes with the Chasam Sofer, that Nusach Svard is not a master key to all the Sha'arim. And therefore he says that it's true that the Ashkenazim that lived in the places that there was Hasidus there, they switched over to Svard. And he says, apparently they were allowed to do that. But he says the Shaila was that there was an Ashkenazi who davens Nusach Svard, but he lives in a place that the schools and this and that, everything's Ashkenaz, and his children are going to learn Nusach Ashkenaz, and should he teach his children to daven Svard? So he says they're allowed to switch over back to Svard, because an Ashkenazi is allowed to switch back to Ashkenazi, because the whole thing that he's davening Svard was that his parents switched from their minhag. So your Shurash and Shama is Ashkenaz, you're allowed to go back to Nusach Ashkenaz. So it comes out that Rav Avadya says that an Ashkenaz is allowed to switch to Sephardi, but a Sephardi is not allowed to go to Ashkenaz. And Ramosha writes that an Ashkenazi is allowed to switch back to Ashkenaz, but a Sephardi shouldn't. And someone's down with Sephardi can switch back to Ashkenaz, but you should stick with your Ashkenaz Nusach, if that's your Nusach.
What about a husband and a wife situation where a wife comes in, she's Ashkenaz, and the husband.
So I'm saying, L'chor, it's the same. L'chor, she should take on the minhag. Yeah. Right. Especially, yeah. So that's why this is the background to understand a little bit why you keep your nusach. So now the question which always comes up very frequently is so what happens if you find yourself in a shul that the minhag in the shul is one way and not the other way? So Ramosha says that this is subject to the Mishnah that we're learning in Pesachim. It's subject to this sugya. And if you look over here in the next part of the page, there on page 4, he says that whatever you're doing with the tzibur, like kedusha and answering kaddish, that's part of the minyan, that you have to answer like the minyan is doing, because that's something that has to do with the whole tzibur. So if they're saying keser, you have to say keser. And if they say, you know, whatever they're saying, you have to keep with what they're saying. However, he says in the...
They don't say baruch hu, baruch shemali, but...
Yeah, so whatever they're saying, you have to say like they're saying.
What about the yivarechacha? Can
Or whatever they're saying, as part of the Tzibur Dika Tefillah, you have to say. However, your private Tefillah, there Amosha makes a distinction. He says, in the brackets of it, he says, that Tefillah Balachash, Yochel Loimar Kanusach Shir Agil Boi, Kivin Shu Balachash, V'lashayich B'zeh Isra Hashinu Yim B'nei Machloikes, Shetanam B'psochim. Why? So he says that since you're doing it privately, so that's your minug. You're not planning on staying, you know, you're not, it's called daite lachzer, so you're allowed to keep your own personal minug. The only reason you would have to conform to the local minug is that's machloikis, and since it's private, there's no machloikis there, and therefore you could have in your own personal nusach.
You could, or you have to.
So he only says you could, but if you could, then you have to. I would. L'chor you should. That's a big machlokes. Rav Moshe holds you daven like the nusach you're going to repeat. Because the whole reason why, the question was, what happens, it's very good, you daven Shmon Esrei. You daven Shmon Esrei like your own minug, but the... You daven shmes like your own minug, but the shliach tzibur has to say the chazar sashatz like the minug of the makom. So what about his personal shmenesri before the chazar sashatz? That was the question. So that's a big machlokes. So Moshe holds you daven like the nusach you're going to say over, because the whole reason the shliach tzibur davens the private shmenesri, the poskim say, is to practice before he says, because he's going to be yoseh shmenesri anyway. So why is he saying it by himself? He's saying it by himself to practice that which he's about to say. So it doesn't make sense to say a different nusach than what you're about to say. So that's what Moshe writes. Others, Minchas Yitzchak, and others argue on that. They say you should just do your own private nusach, because anyway we're not practicing nowadays. That was only when there was no sidurim. Not that there's a sidurim, so there's no reason for that. So you're really yoytze with your own private shmonesh, and you should daven like your nusach. So I guess, you know,
it's a machlokes.
Okay, so Ramosha said, and Ramosha goes on to say that Pesukim Zimra, Brikas Kriyashma, he says there you should do like the minhag of the tzibur, because since you could end up saying it out loud, you get all involved in your brikas kriyashma, and then next thing you know, you're like yelling at the top of your lungs, you know, and you're saying a whole different nusach than everyone else. So that could create a machloikas, and you should daven like the local shul. But he says if that's difficult, then just try to keep it quiet and do it yourself. So I think that the minhag is in most places is that you daven the whole thing your own nusach. I think that's what most people do, is that they dive in their own nusach, but you try to keep it to yourself. Now, what? Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, now, that's the... over here. Now, one thing that's very important to mention is that aside from this whole sugya that there's a halacha of minhag hamakom and you keep your own minhag, you know, this is all talking about when one person, an individual person, is going to a place that has a minhag hamakom. So, what happens if there's a whole nother sugya which is in the back page over here, which is called loisis goydidu. Lisa's going to do, it says over here, there's two places in Shulchan Aruch that that's discussed. One is by the Minhagim of Sfira Sa'imer, it's on the last page. The Minhagim of Sfira Sa'imer are where, you know, some people keep the first half of Sfira from Pesach to Lag Ba'imer, some people keep the second half of Sfira, which is from Rosh Chodesh Iyar till Shavuos. So the end, he brings out all the Minhagim, and the end, the Ramah says, V'lo yinagu bi'ir achas miktsas minagzeh mitzvos minagzeh mishum Lisa's going. But in one city, you shouldn't have both Minhagim. Because there's a new Isser called Loisis Goydu. Loisis Goydu is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, and it means literally you shouldn't make a scratch in your skin, but Chazal Darshan means don't make agudois agudois. You shouldn't see, it shouldn't look like there is, you shouldn't make different groups doing different things in the same city. And the reason for that is either because of Machloikes, the Rambam says, or Rashi says, Shalayir Nir Kishtei Torah, it looks like, you know, we're not keeping a standardized halacha. So the Ramah says in one city you can't have multiple minhagim, and this is also brought down in the Ramah by Hilchos Tefillin, Lagavi, the meaning of putting on tefillin on Chol Moed. The Ramah says the ikar meaning is that you're supposed to put on tefillin on Chol Moed, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down. He says Oy kasru achreinim de'ein nachon shebeis haknesses achas k'tzosam yanichu tefillin and k'tzosam lo yanichu mishum loisis goydu. So you shouldn't have in one place multiple minhagim. Okay? So this is a little slightly different sugya than what we learned till now. The Prima Gadim says the reason why in the sugya in Pesachim we didn't mention Lysis Goydudu is because there was no aguda there. It was just one person coming to a different city. So one person doesn't create agudas agudais. So he has to figure out what to do. But here, where there's groups of people on either side, it looks bad. It looks like Lysis Goydudu, or it is Lysis Goydudu. And therefore, that's a new problem. Why you have to keep one standardized minna? So, Lamaisa, we don't find that there's such a big dagesh, such a big emphasis on this halacha. This first thing, you don't keep multiple menhagim sphere. So everywhere you go, people, oh, what half sphere? You keep first half, second half. It's all one big, you know. And even Lagabi, the minhag of tefillin, you don't find necessarily, we'll see exactly, but we don't find necessarily spiros or machmer on this. In fact, it was very interesting. So, the bir davar is that back till the whole yeshiv in America, the whole golos looked very different. The whole golos was that there was kehilos. Every city had a rav and had a bezdin and had a, there was one, it was a tzur of a kehila. And there was no communication one place to the other. People didn't travel all that much. People sort of didn't move. The whole family stayed in one place. And the kehila had a real minhag. It was one minhag for this kehila. There was no multiple minhagim in that kehila. And therefore, to start a new minhag in that kehila, that was connected to minhag amakom. There was a yid from Pressburg, from the city of the Chasam Sofer. He lives now in Silver Spring. And he went to the cheder in Pressburg. So he said that they were writing up, you know, the few people that were left, the Pressburg is, as he said. So there was a few people left, us, the people from Pressburg, the few people left, he said, we were rewriting the minhagim of the city. So he showed me, you know, one of the older people that was there when he was older, he had written down some of the minhagim, and so he showed me, and it says over there, Mamash, unbelievable, says, you know, again, so there was a minhagim welcome, you can't change, they were very strong about the minhagim. So the Chasam Sofer, the minhag was over there, that they put tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And they write there that in the log of the shul in Pressburg, that they had tefillin made that didn't have parshias in them. It was fake tefillin. And anyone that came to the shul from a different city on Chol HaMoed, they gave them this tefillin to put on.
Wow. So you should stand there.
So I saw it written down over there. That was the minhag over there. Because the ma'aseh, you don't start off with the minhag amakom. The minhag amakom was to put on tefillin. So they had written down there that kach noagu, that the city paid for tefillin being made without parashim. So that there shouldn't be any minhag. So the shaila is, nowadays, why don't we do this? So the answer is that it's really a little bit in the bottom over here, in the Afkas Roichel, which is again the tshuva of the Rabbi Yosef Karai. Someone asked the tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Karai, he said that there was a kehil of Sfardim. There was a kehil of Sfardim. All of a sudden, a lot of Ashkenazim that follow Tosfos and the Rosh, not the Rambam, moved in. And they became the Roiv, they became the majority in the city. And they wanted that the Sfardim, the people that follow the Rambam, should now change over and follow the minhag of the Ramah, of the Rosh and everything. So he says over there that there's no loisis goy to do when there's clearly two minhagim, and this is called shtei bati dinim bi'irachas. If there's clearly two ways to follow, and everyone knows that you're following the Rambam, I'm following the Rosh, we're not making agudas, both people are allowed to follow their derech. So in a place where there's no clear minhag, and everyone's coming in with their thing, as long as it's clear that this person's following that, and this person's following this, that's okay. So in America, what happened was is that when the tzibur started, everyone came with their minhag, and they made their own little kehila. So in one city, you can have multiple kehilas and multiple minhagim. That's not lishis goydus because everyone's following their particular minhag. However, it really depends how far do you take this? So because the Mishnah Berurah says in one shul though, can you say this even in one shul? Mm-hmm. So in Lakewood. That's one of the poskim, because in Lakewood Yeshiva, the minhag is, or Baron, like the minhag of the Ramah, the minhag, the real litvisha minhag is to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And in Lakewood Yeshiva, in the base medrash, you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And if you don't wear tefillin, so they send you upstairs, so there's a nashim, and you put on, and you daven without tefillin over there. So they're very makbid that in the base medrash, you have to. Now, nowadays in Lakewood, the Yeshiva, there's a lot of buildings, a lot of rooms, and everywhere else, all the other minyanim, it's all mixed. Maybe a little bit, they try to make it separate, you know, that you daven a little, other half of the room, but and you could daven in the same base medrash. So I asked him, what's the pshat? So he said, the pshat is like this, it's revealing on this whole thing. He said, pshat is that when the, In one base medrash, when everyone came to learn, that base medrash was established by Rav Aaron Cutler. Everyone came to be a talmud of Rav Aaron, and it was like everyone took on the minhagim of the yeshiva. There's only one bezdin in the base medrash of Rav Aaron Cutler. There's one bezdin. You have to follow that minhag. So everyone else that would be doing different is doing different than the minhag. But once it became very big, so then it became that everyone was coming with their own personal minhag. So that's called shtei batei dinim b'irachas. Shtei batei dinim b'irachas you could have even in one shul. So he said, in all the other places, he said, that's already together, that everyone's coming with their own private minhag. The main base medrash, no one came to bring their own minhag. This is a base medrash established by the reshiva. Everyone came to take on the minhagim of the reshiva. So what you see from that is that really, even in one shul, theoretically speaking, since there's two established minhagim, the minhagim of the goyin and al pi the zohar is that people don't wear tefillin, and then the minhagim of the Ramah is yet to put on tefillin. So it's clearly two minhagim. There's not going to be a lois as good doing that, and therefore that's why some people are meikel even to do it in one shul, and that's what they say. That's why there's no issue of what it's going to do on minhagim nowadays in America. So the so if you have the same thing with Sephardim, the same thing with what? So Maisa, Rav Avraham Erlanger brings down that when he was learning in yeshiva in Europe, and he came to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, and he asked the Chazon Ish if he should put on tefillin in private in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael there's a real minhagim makom. Not to put on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. So you're not allowed to put it on in public. But you have to still keep your private minhag in private. Your personal minhag in private. So you should put on tefillin in private. So Chazon Ish told him this thing. He said, that's not a minhag. That's a chumrah to thing. And therefore you don't have to do it and you shouldn't put on tefillin at all. That's what Chazon Ish told him. So, not everyone...
It's differentiated between putting on, dabbling in a minhag that has tefillin. And a person doesn't wear tefillin, it's not shariah that he's not
wearing tefillin. Right, that's what they say. The other way around is worse, right. Because that it could be that he does, it's like the melacha, maybe. So Lagabe, just to get back, Lagabe, Sephardim and Ashkenazim in one city, even though we say there's an issue of leis hasgoydudu, you're not allowed to have conflicting minhagim in one city because of leis hasgoydudu, but Sephardim and Ashkenazim living together, it's clear that there's two sets of minhagim. There's minhagim al pi the Rambam, there's minhagim al pi the Rosh, and therefore everyone's following their pesach in one city, there's no issue of leis hasgoydudu. Lamaisa, the issue of leis hasgoydudu is in the pasuk, it says, Bonim atem l'ashem elokeichem. So they say that the reason that this isser, what is leis is going to do, not to make agudas, have to do with the minhag of the pashup shot of not making a scratch. It says because since the pasuk says banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, if you're all children of Hashem, so therefore you have the same father, you're brothers, and therefore you shouldn't be marbe b'machloikas. And that's why the Israelites is going to do that. Everyone should live b'shalom together. To Hashem, we shall be zoicha that we shall all live b'shalom together in Yerushalayim.